Welcome back, everybody, to another day of trading on the floor of Dynasty Wall Street. Russ, John, Travis back again to use DynastyTradeCalculator.com and all of its calculating and ranking goodness to help you get to where you want to be in your Dynasty Leagues. And it's draft week. This is it. This is here. Now's when deals are going to get done. Your leagues have probably been a little boring for the past week or two because everyone's just like, it's almost time. But it's time. It's here. And if you're anything like us, your rookie drafts, well, I have one in the books already, but you know, your rookie drafts are happening like 10 minutes after it ends on Saturday. So let's just jump straight in. Of course, I'm starting at quarterback and not talking about a rookie at all. But of course, we equate to rookie values. And I was a little surprised we haven't talked specifically about this quarterback because I know his name's been brought up a couple of times, and it's Kyler Murray. And usually I end up deciding on a player I want to talk about. I go into the calculator and their rankings are usually closer to the higher side of what I think they should be. And then I get annoyed because that goes against everything I wanted to talk about. This time, it is exactly what I thought I was going to find, because Kyler Murray coming in at 40.8 is equal to the 103 and a 25 second. So Kyler Murray, 40.8. The 103 is worth 36, and then you add 3.5 just to get it up there a little bit.
That's interesting.
Starting with the easy question we always start off with, player of the picks. John is almost turtling into his sweatshirt.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Honestly, yeah.
I think I lean Kyler. And I didn't think I would feel that way, but I'm to the point in the rookie draft cycle where I'm like, hey, you know what? These players are all fantastic, but they all probably suck actually. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
don't put that in your articles though.
No, I'm not going to, that doesn't do well with traffic, by the way. Like, all your favorite players are terrible. Don't. Yeah.
Have no hope. No hope.
Yeah. Have no hope at all. No, but realistically, like, let's just say optimistically, like just wild optimism that is not going to come to fruition. There's like six first-round quarterbacks. Historically speaking, four of them are going to miss. Mm-hmm. Like, horribly. And so, if that's like our starting point, like 1.03, I get it. If you're going for Marvin Harrison Jr. or one of the elite wide receivers, and yeah, I know that's where John was going to go, that I get it. I think that may be perceived to be more valuable. But one of those elite wide receivers is probably going to be joining the offense of Kyler Murray. And so I think we're going to see, and maybe this is baking it in already, knowing that's coming. I think most leagues are going to realize, oh, wait, Kyler Murray has this guy as a weapon? Man, we got to have his value up. And so I think that's kind of baking that in a little bit with his value, but I think it's fair.
Yeah, I was going to ask, did a quarterback go second in this draft?
And it's funny because I almost had Marvin Harrison Jr. on the list, but then I realized that we are absolutely going to talk about that when we talk about this. Yeah. Spit both directions.
I mean, I want Marvin Harrison Jr. above Kyler Murray. I want Kyler Murray above all of the quarterbacks not named Caleb Williams. So, I mean, it really, really hinges on who goes at that 102.
Yeah.
It starts out Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr. I want Kyler Murray easily.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am. Like, because for me, it's those two. And I think in a lot of my leagues, it's going to be those two.
Yeah.
So
it's a gamble. So, I mean, I don't feel comfortable making that gamble right now, either way. So I'm probably sticking with whatever side I already have rather than like taking a gamble and losing. I'd rather not take the gamble and lose, I guess. I don't know. I feel like if somebody offered it to me and Marvin Harrison Jr. falls to 103, I will quickly be sending the offer right back to them. I mean, I might not get that second that they gave, that they were offering now, but I would be okay giving that second up for that security of waiting until I know for sure.
So I don't know when this switch flipping happened in my brain. Like, I remember when Kyler was hurt and there was so much discourse in Arizona, I was terrified of him. And then the next season started and they were just running out. They're running out trash, and then Josh Dobbs, and then they traded him away. And I was like, all right, well, it seems like they're either going to get Caleb or they're keeping Kyler. And then they started falling in the draft ranks. So where they're not getting Caleb Williams, so they're keeping Kyler Murray, they, you know, and all of this stuff. I think once that happened, something flicked in my brain and I'm just all in on Kyler Murray. I'm smashing Kyler Murray for the 103. Kyler Murray equals the 101 to me. Kyler Murray had his worst statistical season this past season when he missed most of it due to an injury as the points per game QB 10. ACL recovery season, QB 10 in points per game, his worst season. Like, there's literally zero risk in that. And again, baking in the idea that chances are they're going to end up with Harrison, Odunze, or Neighbors, you know, whoever they choose, even if they do trade back, because they're going to trade back with someone very close, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, I mean, there's been numerous, I would call them real rumors that there might be like a trade back and then a trade back up, you know, like, I mean, like it's, we just saw it from the Cardinals general manager, was it last year or the year before, for Paris Johnson? Like, that's the video that's been going around, actually, I'm pretty sure. Like, where they traded down and they traded back up. And I'm actually referencing that trade in a trade value charts piece I'm doing for the NFL draft analysis this week. They like to move. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do trade down, but then get somehow, you know, a Rome Odunze, or get somehow a Malik Nabers or something like that, if things go down on draft day. So that's just one team to watch. But I think for me, if I am disappointed if it's not, if Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison are not their big three, I'm sad.
Yeah. But I'm easily taking Kyler at the 103, you know, over the 103, I should say. Yeah. I guess let's just get to the list. The list is two quarterbacks and a wide receiver. Well, and Kyler Murray. So Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, and Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Huh. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. So Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert, Herbert.
I got mine. You're Trevor still Lawrence. Thinking years out.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Brown. You go first, John.
Trevor Lawrence is 4. That was my easiest thing to put on here. Then I have Kyler at 3. Amon-Ra St. Brown at 2 and Herbert at 1. But I feel like those top three are all pretty same tier-ish, even though it's cross-positional. Pretty same tier-ish, yeah. I think is the way I can describe it. So, but I like in a startup, I would take Herbert before I took Amon-Ra St. Brown or Kyler Murray.
Travis?
Yeah, I think I go Kyler, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Herbert, big gap, then Lawrence.
So in the Dynasty Trade Calculator, it goes, let me just make sure I'm catching all of these. Justin Herbert at 50.5, Amon-Ra St. Brown at 44.1, Trevor Lawrence at 42.1, Kyler Murray at 40.8. Oh my God. I love Trevor Lawrence.
That's interesting.
But what?
Yeah, that is a little odd.
I am starting to get worried about Justin Herbert. I understand there's a good chance that they also draft one of these very, very good wide receivers. Like, there's a chance Marvin Harrison goes to the Chargers and all of that stuff. But also, and again, this is so long ago, but Harbaugh's best season from a passing perspective was like 28 passes per game, and Herbert's used to being in the low 40s. Like, not going to lie, I'm a little worried about Herbert's upside.
Yeah, they don't actually have a functional wide receiver at the moment either. So,
and they have Greg Roman. Gross. So honestly, give me Kyler. I'll still probably put Herbert second, but I can very easily be convinced to take Amon-Ra second instead. And unfortunately, Trevor Lawrence is last. And putting him on here was like, courtesy. Just a way to make fun of him, because he doesn't belong there. And while it makes me sad that he doesn't belong there, he does not belong there.
Yeah, that is. And it's not like he's been terrible. It's just he just doesn't really, he's not there for me either. So,
well, during the draft, when the Jaguars trade for T. Higgins to make that reunion happen, it'll be all better.
There you go.
I'm ready for it. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right. So that is our up, right? talk. We move now to wide receiver, and that is Travis.
That's actually kind of related to the topic I wanted to discuss today. So with this wide receiver class, and we're going to be talking about this wide receiver class for weeks on end here with rookie drafts and all the real draft capital and landing spots, everything like that that's going to be had in the coming days. And there are going to be wide receivers that these top wide receiver prospects join that all of a sudden their value takes a dip because the implication is they're not the future anymore. This young stud, a wide receiver, might be. And so if you look at the top of, you know, like dynasty rankings and wide receiver values for most people, like you get through like 20, 23, maybe names. That's probably the cap, like that, like DK Metcalf and Jordan Addison, Zay Flowers, Deebo Samuel. Those guys are really well established. But if you move much below that range of wide receiver, you get into the conversation of players that, hey, you know what? If a first round wide receiver joined them, that might be an absolute killer for their value, right? And so I think there's this tier, this group of wide receivers I kind of wanted to just talk through individually and then actually compare them together as well, just kind of pick to pick, and then just kind of ranking them one through five wide receivers here. So the first one is Jaden Reed of the Green Bay Packers. And he's one who is right now on the Dynasty Trade Calculator, like wide receiver 24. And I guess the working assumption for many this offseason has been, hey, Jaden Reed is the most talented wide receiver in Green Bay, and he's going to be the guy. But even last year, we saw the guy change for them, like week to week pretty much. And so if it is that there's any other wide receiver that enters the mix, whether that be via trade, whether that be via the draft, the Packers actually have like three picks within the first, I believe, 58. So the first round is not going to be that. But if it's pick 41 or pick 58, where there's some help and they like some second round wide receivers, if that happens at any point, even really on day two, that's going to muddy that situation even more so. And yet he's valued at like 17.2 on the calculator. And if you put that next to an actual draft pick value, you're looking about the 110, like the 10th overall rookie pick. So I'm curious, Jaden Reed or the 10th overall rookie pick in this class.
I think that's what you would have to pay to get him. Like, you're not getting Reed for a second anymore. I think it would be weirdly luxury for them to draft a wide receiver based on what they've seen from the wide receivers they have. And you're absolutely right. They don't have the guy, and the way they distribute the ball, it seems like they don't care or don't want there to be one, you know, whether just one hasn't worked out or not, but they spread the ball out a lot, which I hate for Jaden Reed because I want him to just be the guy.
Exactly.
But yeah, I'm fine with that either way, because I still think if you end up, like, I know John's favorite guy in this area is A.D. Mitchell. But if you end up with one of those guys back there, or I mean, hold on, let me go to the rookie draft of mine that just happened and look to see who ended up around the 110, even though, of course, when the real draft happens, this will change. Xavier Worthy, Brian Thomas Jr., A.D. Mitchell, and then we had some running backs. Wow. Trey Benson, Jonathan Brooks, then Troy Franklin went. Like, I think you'd be thrilled if any of them turned out into what Jaden Reed has, you know, this past season.
I think you'd be thrilled, and though, to me, and I'm sorry, I'm inserting my bias into the question. Yeah. I think you'd also just kind of expect that would be what would be happening with an Xavier Worthy or Brian Thomas or, you know, any of the guys with like the late first round kind of capital at the wide receiver position. Cause the working assumption is, hey, there's a top three, maybe a clear four, and then a five or six could probably work into round one. And we might see seven or eight wide receivers go in the top 40. And if that's the case, and that's not actually even really that atypical in recent years. So if that's the case, you're going to be looking at a pretty decent capital projection in maybe on a good team if they're late first. So I don't know. To me, it's tough, but I would lean the pick, but I'm curious where John lands here.
Well, in the end, I lean the pick because, like John will probably end up saying, it's more versatile as a asset on your team. Most people will want a draft pick. Not as many people are going to want Jaden Reed specifically. So honestly, usually when it comes down to this, if it's fair enough, I'll probably lean the pick because I like making trades. But if I, for some reason, felt the need to have Jaden Reed on my team, I would say I expect Jaden Reed to do what this, I hope this guy does. So I'd be fine sending it. But the answer is actually the 110.
Yeah, it is the pick for me. And I think it is because it's at the front end of that little tier of picks where if I was at the back end of that tier of picks, you know, the 112, then I'd probably rather have Jaden Reed and just know what I'm getting. But if I'm at the front end of it, I get to pick the guy that I want. So I'm not just taking whatever's less left. So pretty much, yeah, it's the pick. For all the reasons you guys said, I would say it. That is exactly why.
Yep.
Then next up, we actually have another wide receiver, and we go one pick further down the list. You don't necessarily get your absolute pick. 1.11 or George Pickens. Now, to remind you guys, George Pickens got Van Jefferson to add along with him and Quez Watkins. Two guys who are basically not flameouts, but like they're not difference makers. They're on different teams for a reason now. For the long run,
Pickens is worth the 111.
Oh, he's worth the 111 at the moment. So I think there's still a very real possibility. If you look at the lack of speed among those who I know, Calvin Austin, if he's ever going to be a thing, he's probably not. Quez Watkins, he's kind of fast-ish, but has had drop issues. Van Jefferson and Pickens are not speedsters at all.
Why are we talking about any of these terrible guys?
Yeah, I just like my thing is like it's perceived that, hey, Pickens could have a lot of targets. There might be somebody else that gets added into the fold though. And if that happens, and it seems like that's going to, how then is Pickens worth still the 111? Is it just clear for you guys that it's the pick again?
I like Pickens. I wouldn't give the 111 for him. I know I'm not getting him for the 201, but he's probably just a player that is worth more than what I think then. I'll take the pick.
Yeah, I'm taking the pick too. I mean, I like Pickens. We saw him do really well when Deontay Johnson was out of the lineup, and now Deontay Johnson's off the team. And again, we saw him do really well with, you know, John at quarterback. You know, now they have the slightly decaying Russell Wilson, or maybe Justin Fields, who knows how that works out. So, but it's definitely a step up from what they've had. So like, I'm not super out on George Pickens, but like I was saying before with Jaden Reed, I don't think we've seen enough out of Pickens and the Steelers to make me feel like I would rather, like it's safer to take the player over the pick by any means. So I think I just take the pick here, especially because a lot of his value is based on hype and hope. And I firmly believe the Steelers draft someone in the first or second wide receiver.
Okay. Well, then the next three, and then we can kind of talk through this group as how you would rank them. So Rashee Rice, Christian Kirk to your T. Higgins hopeful trade thing you yep. said earlier. And then Deontay Johnson. Obviously, Deontay Johnson is in a new spot this year. Again, we might assume he is in line for a decent target share. But the Panthers also have that early second and could just add another target to the mix there. Rashee Rice obviously got some help with Hollywood Brown. But the Chiefs could legitimately just add another wide receiver because they're finally just sick and tired of messing around with having bad players for Mahomes to throw to. Like, that's still not out of the question, especially given what's happened with Rashee Rice off the field. And so with Rashee Rice and Christian Kirk, and again, Kirk has like, what, Gabe Davis and Zay Jones competing for targets there. So it seems that he's in a good spot, but the Jags also might just pick a wide receiver in the first round and then everything's gone. Or they might trade for T. Higgins, like you mentioned. So that group of three players, or the 2.01?
2.01. There was a very long discussion in one of the Trade Addicts chats about Deontay Johnson and being worth a first. And there's no world where I fall on to Deontay Johnson being worth a first right now. Honestly, if he has an Adam Thielen-esque season, where even though Thielen fell off at the end, but like he's that target hog on that team, he's still not going to be worth a first. He's older at this point. He's on a second team. He's on a young and up-and-coming team where we're going to keep saying they're bringing someone else in. His value is what it is. Christian Kirk is worth well below the 201, though I do think his production will be worth the 201. Even when Calvin Ridley was there, they constantly said they want Christian Kirk to be part of their offense, and I believe he will be, but that offense is very streaky. So it's not while it might be good fantasy value, he'll never have dynasty value anymore. And I'm completely blanking on the third person already.
Oh, Rashee Rice. So,
I have no idea, off field. I mean, let's pretend he gets suspended for six games. He's a 23 year old wide receiver. First of all, he'll probably appeal it down to foot three or four, and then it doesn't matter. He's a 23-year-old wide receiver that missed a bunch of games, and the best actual wide receiver, not pass catcher, the best wide receiver that Mahomes has had in a while. So, and I love.
So you prefer him over the 201, or
I'm too risk averse to take Rashee Rice at this point. Like John keeps alluding to, that is a very big tier of wide receivers that if I can walk away with, like, there's a chance that maybe AD Mitchell falls around down a little bit. If Ladd McConkey gets drafted in the first round of the NFL draft, he'll be available at the end of the first, beginning of the second. You know, there's players I think I would prefer over Rashee Rice. Again, like, if this stuff didn't happen, the answer would easily be Rashee Rice.
Yeah, that's where I am with him, because it's like he had an insane streak where he was getting like 10 targets a week or something crazy. The production on field isn't what makes it complicated with him. But yeah.
In which case, I usually stay away from the headaches, which means I'll just take the pick also.
John, is there any of the three wide receivers, Rashee Rice, Christian Kirk, or Deontay Johnson, you would prefer over the first pick in round two?
Yeah, I have Rice, then the 201, then Deontay Johnson, then Christian Kirk. That's how I ranked out this group before. So, yeah. I mean, I'm willing to take the risk for the 201 on Rashee Rice. Like, you know, yes, terrible thing he did, very dumb. The NFL can forgive that, and talent gets a lot of forgiveness.
Yeah,
and
a lot forgiven of a lot worse.
So, yes.
My gosh. But okay, so just kind of to put a bow on this thing, it seems like, even though I don't know, it seems like we don't necessarily know definitively what to do, but in most cases, we're leaning the pick outside of the Rashee Rice example here. But I guess if you put him up into the tier, and this is kind of like ranking these players as we go, of like George Pickens and Jaden Reed, and that conversation where you're talking about having to move like the 10th or 11th pick. 10th or 11th pick, does that change anything for you guys?
Man, if this stuff didn't happen with Rashee Rice, he was worth more than all of these guys.
Yeah.
Like, he was probably worth the 108, 109. Like, he was worth those picks.
I still want him more than George Pickens, probably.
Yeah, me too. Because he had character concerns coming in already. Like, yeah. I mean.
But he just produced anyway. Okay, so ranking, it sounds like you guys are ranking this pretty clearly and on the same page. But just 1 through 5, you know, the Jaden Reed and George Pickens going in the order that I introduced them. Jaden Reed, George Pickens, Rashee Rice, Christian Kirk, and Deontay Johnson. How would you rank those five in a row? All guys that might be at risk for some value change in the near future.
I'd go Reed, Rice, Pickens, Deontay Johnson, Kirk.
Interesting.
Yep.
Spot on? Okay. Well, that's interesting. Yep. The calculator goes Reed first, actually, about clears like by a point and a half of above Pickens, and then Pickens, and then Rashee Rice, and then Christian Kirk, and then another gap to Deontay Johnson. Johnson actually falling below incoming rookies like Xavier Worthy, like Troy Franklin, down near, actually tied with Christian Watson, Terry McLaurin, right near Stephon Diggs. So it's interesting where he sits at the bottom, and you guys didn't have him in that spot. But I just wanted to kind of talk that through, because I know that these thoughts are going to be had by many managers that have these players on the roster, or they have picks and they could move for a player like that. Even, you know, after the draft happens, we have these landing spots in less than a week. So, yeah, I'm sorry for throwing some shenanigans in there, but I had to kind of mix it up this week, given that it's the NFL draft.
And then John has tight ends.
I do. TJ Hockenson. We haven't talked about him in a while. And he's not going to be playing for a while. So looks like late September, early October is, like, you know, probably the optimistic target that we always get.
Yeah.
Always ahead of schedule. Everybody's always ahead of schedule. He's going to be out. He's going to be missing 4 or 5 weeks, something in that range. So you're not getting them for the whole season. You can't count on him then to start him for the first month of the season. Comes in at 24.6. That is equal to the 106 in Superflex tight end premium. Are you giving the 106 for TJ Hockenson?
Yes.
Russ is. All right. That's Travis.
No, I'm not. Because it's non-point scoring season, right? As you guys always say.
It's going to be non-point scoring season for him for a little bit longer.
Exactly. And so with the 1.06, there's probably going to be 3 quarterbacks gone by that point. I mean, probably not 4, but maybe 4.
Just say what you're thinking of saying. Say it. It's Hockenson or Bowers.
I mean, Hockenson or Bowers, but or your like favorite of the 3 wide receiver trio that's still there. So like there's, and I think Bowers is right there. Like they're pretty much fair value. You're just getting a, you know, 5-year age gap with a profile that's actually maybe even just a hair superior versus when he came in. And I know it's like Hockenson is already hit. I get that. But
let's kind of just go into the list, because that's basically what I have. Is it's not a list today. It's TJ Hockenson or this rookie. So TJ Hockenson or JJ McCarthy.
Hockenson.
Yeah, I'll lean Hockenson there, but that's, yeah.
I'm close. Probably that's depends close. On what other quarterbacks and what other tight ends I have on.
Yeah, if it is,
he's like, there's so much variance in what he can land, where, when he can land.
Yeah.
So that's why I'll take Hockenson easy, but I get that it's.
He ends up a Viking.
That's going to be pretty juicy.
I think it's McCarthy easy then for me.
Yeah.
So TJ Hockenson or Brock Bowers?
Hockenson.
It's Bowers for me.
Hockenson
was having a tight end one season.
I know.
Until he got hurt.
Yeah, I think that's just the baseline assumption. Like what? So like what has happened with Kyle Pitts to this point in production?
I know.
We're on Brock Bowers right now. I know. But like
the question was TJ Hockenson or Brock Bowers.
I'm not doing the direct. He's
comparing Bowers to Pitts for a second.
Yeah. Like Pitts has been around a couple of years and hasn't met expectation. And yet still his value is pretty high. So I don't know. I just think Bowers has a lot of built-in value.
Might say near the 106 in a few minutes.
Yeah. So we'll see. But Bowers, I think, by just a hair.
And just to agree with what Travis is saying, Bowers will have a pretty good price insulation for a year or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take Bowers easily.
Of course.
TJ Hockenson or Roma Dunze. Now you got to choose between the receiver, Russ.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah.
I mean, the answer should be Hockenson, especially if we're talking any sort of premium. But because that's positional advantage.
Yeah.
And again, someone we've seen score recently at the top of their position, and ACLs have seemed to be next to nothing at this point for people to come back from. He's still young. He's still on the same offense. We've seen him do well with not great quarterbacking. Like, there's nothing to be worried about for TJ Hockenson. Udunze, we need to see him do it in the league. We need to hope he doesn't land on the equivalent of the Patriots, though clearly he won't get drafted that early. Like there's so much right now that we don't know about Udunze that give me the positional advantage of a guy who can score as the tight end one.
That is hard, because I think by many, Udunze is probably the consensus like clear 3 of that top trio, and I do prefer Bowers, so I think I probably just by hair prefer Hawk for similar reasons that you laid out, Russ, and I'd prefer other wide receivers over him. So yeah,
I'll take Udunze. I'll take the rookie wide receiver.
John, you look so disappointed. I wish people could see your face. Like, I'm just so disappointed in you guys right now.
I know. I can't believe you.
That's just how John looks at me. You get used to it.
I didn't realize you guys were such TJ Hockenson fans. TJ Hockenson or Kyle Pitts?
Kyle Pitts could even be TJ Hockenson.
He's still way younger, too. He could be TJ Hockenson and be a lot younger.
And still he did just get, you know what? He did just get the quarterback who was making TJ Hockenson be TJ Hockenson. So, yep. Oh man, that's tempting.
Oh, I'm taking Pitts in a smash here.
Oh, of yeah. Course.
I probably am too, just by a hair.
Plus I get like, you know, hopefully 4 or 5 weeks of production that I'm this year extra.
Yeah. Yeah.
It won't take a lot for me to sway Pitts in a second.
Think about any offensive playmaker. No, that's a smash.
If you get a second along with it. I wasn't putting that in there, Russ.
Well, you wouldn't because you would take Pitts over top. I'm just saying that it's not that far apart, but give me the guy we've seen do it. But if I can get the 204 along with Pitts.
That would be a smash for you. That actually comes out to be a 7-point difference on the calculator, Russ. It's like a 120 paying 125% of the price.
I'm sorry, the calculator's wrong here.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, if I get a really lopsided offer, I would love to take that. Amazing. Just saying.
Anyone listening who's in my leagues, just hear that.
Yeah. You give me the 101, I'll get rid of TJ Hockenson. Fine, I guess I'll do it.
If I have to.
So, I mean, Kyle Pitts had Arthur freaking Smith and Desmond Ridder.
Yeah.
And Hockenson had a future Hall of Famer Kirk Cousins. tossed under the rock, and now he gets Kyle. I mean, he's going to be tossing his Kyle. It's interesting that Falcons offense is going to be different this year.
Yes, absolutely. I wonder if Kirk Cousins passed Sam Bradford for like the most money earned by a QB. Because
by a lot, I'm sure.
Because Bradford was killing it for years. Because he was also like one of the last QBs, or the last QB before the rookie wage scale came in.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Cousins is like $250 million at this point. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
and all guaranteed. Like it was just good for Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. No, I like Kyle Pitts as a player. I love everything that's happening to his situation, and I sure hope he has a season like TJ Hockenson just had. But he's done it.
Just imagine. Just imagine.
And I get it. You're in a little bit of water for the first couple of weeks, and then you're not going to be super confident starting him his first few games back anyway. But in the long run, and that's the game we're kind of playing, especially now in April, Hockenson.
Pitts.
I know, John. We all know.
We do.
Is that the end
of the list? That's it. That was the list. Yeah, I just wanted to basically see what rookies you guys might take TJ Hockenson over. For Russ, it's all of them.
So I guess going above that then. One more player.
About to say, Neighbors over Hockenson.
Okay, I was gonna. There's the line.
So like I hit that level. Yeah. It was right on that level.
You were spot on with the ask. Yeah, and Travis even pointed it out, and it's what made me think to bring this up afterwards. Calling Odunze that clear three, which he is for me also, and to say that there is a little bit of a gap, and that's where you shove Hockenson for me, like in between those two. But I would take Neighbors over Odunze and over Hockenson.
What about the rookie running? Oh, I'm kidding. I can't.
I'm kidding.
It's obviously not the rookie running back one, whoever that is.
What about next year's rookie running backs?
Maybe we'll talk about that next year.
Yeah, you're going to have to tell us about that later. But for now, we are closing down the floor of Dynasty Wall Street. Russ Fisher at Dynasty Outhouse, John Bosch at John Bosch FF, Travis May at FF_Travis M. Ring the bell.